Hey, 383 test wickets.
Yeah, Ian Botham. Yeah.
Have a look at Ian Botham's timeline about his test performances early in his career compared to
front
London.
Half compared to his second half of his career. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because he wasn't quite as fit, do you think?
Wasn't quite as dedicated as some. Let's leave it at that. 1353-53. We are talking massive floggings as well. That's our talk topic today. We're going to go to the news. We must say goodbye to our Queensland listeners, our South Australian listeners.
But they can still listen.
They can, our Northern Territory listeners and our Tasmanian listeners, they can still listen via the website, skysportsradio.com.au. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
I'm Sarah Womby. A very high fire danger remains across southern Queensland as multiple blazes continue to burn across the state. It includes the Gold Coast hinterland and on the Granite Belt, where a watch and act alert remains in place for the bushfires at Binnaburra and Applethorpe. Harry Clark from the Bureau of Meteorology says gusty winds and dry conditions are expected to continue today.
Yeah, look, we're still expecting fairly windy conditions in the south. Clear skies continuing, but quite cool as well. So we still do have very high fire dangers across southern areas today.
Meanwhile, more than 300 firefighters are continuing to battle multiple out-of-control bushfires across New South Wales. Hundreds of firefighters are battling the blazes at Beats Nest and Drake, which have been threatening homes. A very high fire danger is predicted for the far north coast and New England areas. Julian Assange's stepbrother has written a letter to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, pleading with him to save his brother. Gabriel Barber-Shipton says Julian seems distressed as he spends 21 hours a day isolated in his British cell. The WikiLeaks founder is facing extradition to the United States on 18 charges over the leaking of documents online. Counterfeit cladding, which claims to be fire-resistant, has been found in Victoria. The Sunday Herald Sun reports the product even has fake authorisation stickers. The Victorian Building Authority is understood to be aware of reports of counterfeiting or substitution. It's thought the product is coming from China and entering Australia untested. In Western Australia, a man is in a stable condition in the Fiona Stanley Hospital after being bitten by a snake while rock climbing in Perth South. The man in his 30s was climbing in Bedfordale yesterday afternoon when he was bitten by a snake in the crack of the cliff face. Other climbers in the area lifted the man to safety before emergency services and a rescue helicopter were able to take him to hospital. A senior member of the British government has resigned in a new blow to the authority of Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The BBC's Steve Jackson has more.
In a week of high political drama over Brexit, this is yet another hugely significant moment. Amber Rudd has resigned not just from her cabinet post, but also from the governing Conservative Party itself. In a resignation statement, she accused the Prime Minister Boris Johnson of an assault on decency and democracy over the way he treated rebels in his party who sided with the opposition to block a no-deal Brexit next month. After suffering a series of parliamentary defeats this week on his Brexit plans, this is another major blow to Mr. Johnson.
Briefly, rescue efforts are stepping up in parts of the Bahamas worst hit by Hurricane Dorian as hundreds scramble to flee the destruction. Attempts to reach a nationwide settlement over the opioid crisis with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma have hit an impasse and the company's expected to file for bankruptcy. And dark drama Joker about the origins of the villainous character has won the Golden Lion Award at the Venice Film Festival, while Roman Polanski's military drama about France's notorious Dreyfus affair has taken the runner-up prize. This is AIR News. There is a new queen of Flushing Meadows, as AIR Sports' Paul Walsh reports.
19-year-old Bianca Andreescu is the toast of Canada and Flushing Meadows as she outpowered six-times US Open champion Serena Williams to register a stunning 6-3, 6-4 victory. Andreescu was aggressive from the start, breaking Williams' first service game, then continuing with power tennis that had the 37-year-old on the back foot for most of the match. For Williams, this is her fourth consecutive defeat in a Grand Slam final, with time running out for her to equal Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slam victories. For Andreescu, who started the year ranked in the 150s, she'll now be known as the first ever Canadian to win a Grand Slam tournament.
I try to prepare my best like I do every other match. I try to step on the court and try not to focus on who I'm playing. I mean, that's really easy to say, but I'm really proud with how I dealt with everything.
This is Paul Walsh for AIR Sport.
The Titans have gone down to the Dragons 24-16 in the NRL, and the other games went to Canterbury and the Warriors. GWS are through to the AFL preliminary finals after defeating the Bulldogs 113-55. Richmond are also in the prelims after beating the Brisbane Lions 112-65. The Wallabies have claimed a 34-15 win over Samoa in the Rugby World Cup warm-up match. And Australia are 8 wickets away from retaining the Ashes after reducing England 2-18 at stumps on day 4 of the fourth test, having set a target of 383. Australian Independent Radio News.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network. Stratum Star, the millions maker. A dual Group 1 winner from coast to coast.
Stratum Star raced up now to Jamaica. Juvenile starting to flash over the United States down on the inside. Stratum Star's hit the front, he's won it.
Stratum Star, by a Golden Slipper winner and champion sire of two-year-olds. Standing at tremendous value this season.
But Stratum Star on the backup, he's too good.
Visit Widden.com.
Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Excludes Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't miss TAFE New South Wales Open Day on September 14. Discover incredible courses to help you be in demand. Find your nearest campus at tafensw.edu.au. In St Ives, the Burst Water Main on Monavale Road has the left northbound lane out near Link Road. In Penrith, Castlereagh Road closed for roadworks between the Great Western Highway and Thornton Drive. Diversions in place via the Northern Road. And more road closures around the Bondi Junction interchange to help buses run smoothly to Bondi for the Festival of the Winds. Hey You is the home of the Kardashians. Stream the brand new season tomorrow, same day as the US. Head to heyyou.com or download the app to start your 1 month free trial. I'm Tim Govers, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Yeah, wind easing to a sunny afternoon, top temperature of 20 degrees, but there's large and powerful surf conditions are expected along the coastal fringe. So for those rock fishermen and those going swimming and surfing, be careful. James, weather forecast for Mudgee and Gundagai.
That's where they're racing today. Partly cloudy up at Mudgee, a top temperature of 15 degrees. And at Gundagai, a few showers today. Good. Rain.
More of it.
More rain. Maximum temperature 14 degrees.
$5 Kosciuszko tickets. Close midnight, Sunday.
Sports Radio, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It is the final hour. We're excited about what's coming up from a sport point of view today. We're excited about what's coming up in the next hour as well. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, very shortly, we'll get a sports update with Tanya. Incredible result over there at the US Open. Bianca Andreescu has won her maiden Grand Slam title at age 19, the Canadian. Can you believe this too? The first Canadian to win a Grand Slam singles title.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was surprised at that.
Milos Raonic hasn't won one, has he?
Close, so, but no cigar for Milos.
They've had some good female players over the years, but haven't got one, yeah.
Juniper Bouchard made a final, but did not win it. So that was interesting. We'll get that and all the other sports news across the weekend from Tanya. Phil Moss will take us through the football news. And, of course, we'll keep taking your calls today and your text messages on 0419 767 272. Biggest floggings in sport. On the back of the very lucky win for the All Blacks, 92 points to 7 against Tonga overnight. By the way, the Wallabies had a win, 34-15 over Samoa. And in the Basketball World Cup, well done, Australia, 82 points to 76 over the Dominican Republic.
Oh, I went with Jimmy Crothers as my biggest flogging, 147 punches in 137 seconds when he won the world title against Vic Tawil. But I also thought about, do you remember the fight in Kingston, Jamaica, I think it was, 73, an unbeaten Joe Frazier, the heavyweight champion, taking on an emerging unbeaten gentleman by the name of George Foreman.
Dominant performance, wasn't it?
Knocked him down 6 times, and the fight was over in the second round, a minute 35 seconds into the second round. By that stage, Joe Frazier hit the canvas 6 times. Do you believe that?
And that led to the rumble in the jungle.
Yes.
And that was, of course, when George Foreman arrived, and he was the most feared person on the planet, and he had those big Alsatians around him as he got off the plane in the airport at Zaire, and they... All the locals associated that with authority figures and how they were repressed as a people, and they immediately all started supporting Ali. Despite the fact that there were two African-American athletes against each other, all support went for Ali at that point.
When we were kings, wasn't it?
Correct.
One of the great
sports documentaries of
ever.
All time. Keep the SMS coming in. Re-floggings. Socceroos 31-0 against American Samoa. Archie Thompson, 13 goals.
Is that a world record?
That was from Redman. That is a world record.
Wow.
That is a world record. And here's Scooter from our man at Goulburn. Mm-hmm. At the state championships, Manly beat us 18-0. Trouble is, we were playing soccer. It gets worse. I was goalie.
That's a nightmare. Just repeating, if you haven't caught up with the Ashes overnight, Australia need 8 wickets to retain the Ashes. England need 365 runs to take the series into a fifth test live at the Oval. Steve Smith got 82, got out trying to chase quick runs. It was his 9th consecutive Ashes score of 50 or more, Jim. That equals the all-time record of Mike Hussey. So he is just a phenomenon, Steve Smith.
Hey, Ray, I was going to nominate Jimmy for today's talk topic, but I misheard it. You want massive floggings, not massive flogs. So no name on that one, but I can see the other ones you've sent in, Tim from Canberra. So
thank you.
He's the bloke who sent in Everyone Does Really Hate Me. So
no, it's not true, Jimmy.
It is true in Tim's mind, and if it is, then it is. That's true. To be honest, Ray, I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over it.
You're good like that, aren't you? You've got a thick skin, my friend.
Good. Well, I have to, working here. And all the abuse that I received here.
Oh,
anyway, let's go to Dean Bulldog Richie. He is the number one rugby league writer of the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. And there it is, a big day for rugby league today with a massive game at Leichhardt. G'day, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy, and good morning, Ray.
Morning. Hey, Dino.
You out at Leichhardt today?
I will be, Jimmy. There are certain games in a year that you really look forward to as a journalist. I mean, you love covering the game and you love getting to all the different grounds and seeing all the different teams, but today's got a real special feel to it. You know there's going to be hot dog sellers out, you'll smell the fries cooking, and you'll know the crowd will be big, and it's just got a lovely suburban Sunday afternoon feel at Leichhardt Oval, and it's a big game, of course, in the circumstances, semi-finals. So it's all there for the Tigers today. But, of course, you know, it's the Sharks there to spoil the party, because I think personally, among other teams, like St. George, Illawarra and the Cowboys, that if the Sharks don't make the semi-finals, it's been a year of failure for them, given the roster that they have.
Yeah, no, fair point. Hey, Dino, what's your mail? Will Robbie Farah play?
Look, Ray, officially they won't make a decision until 1 p.m. an hour before kickoff. Look, he's named in Jersey 21. Still, he's on as a reserve, but he didn't train yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So that's a fair indication that he won't play. But look, officially, we won't know until just before kickoff. He only broke that that leg 27 days ago, Ray. So it would have been an absolute miracle for Robbie to have played. But look, at this point, mate, I don't think he'll be there.
No, I think that's been pretty clear now that the bid to play is going to fall short with Robbie Farah. Now, the Cowboys recruitment, you want to have your say on that, Dino?
Yeah, there's a couple of players I'm hearing, Jimmy, that they're targeting. Quite clearly, they've been disappointing for a couple of years now. They're not superstar players, but I'm hearing that Ethan Masters from West Tigers and Curtis Scott from the Melbourne Storm, who is a good player, Curtis Scott. He's had a couple of issues, but he was talked about as a possible Origin player, I think, 2 years ago. So certainly the Cowboys have got their eye on those two just to try to obviously bolster up their depth out wide. But I think Curtis Scott would be a handy pickup for any side, Jimmy.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. He hasn't quite made it happen this year.
He hasn't, yeah.
Melbourne.
Hey, Dino, what's the latest up there at Newcastle with the Knights and their coaching staff, mate?
Yeah, well, we all know that Adam O'Brien has the top job now, mm-hmm. right? That's been formally announced clearly. David Ferner has been mentioned as an assistant coach, but I'm hearing Adam O'Brien hasn't nailed down who he wants alongside him just yet. Another name, though, that I'm hearing is Willie Peters from South Sydney. He's been the assistant coach there under Wayne Bennett. And, of course, he was previously at Manly when Trent Barrett was in charge. So I'm hearing Peters has emerged as a late contender for that assistant's job up there in Newcastle. So either way, I think Ferner and Peters are very good football brains. It's just a matter of which way O'Brien goes.
Oh, well, the interesting thing is that O'Brien's getting the chance to appoint who he wants, as opposed to having someone appointed for him, which was the case when Tim Sheens was talked about as being a man to come up there, Dino. I think that's the key thing on that.
Well, it's fairly clear, Jimmy, to me that O'Brien's come in with a strong mindset. I think you'll find that he's a ruthless coach, but he knows what he wants. He's come through the Bellamy, Trent Robinson system. So I don't think he's a soft touch. So you'll find he's gone in there and said, look, I want A, B, C, D, and E. And if I don't get it, well, I'm not coaching here. And certainly one of the stipulations I was told that he wanted in his contract was that he would appoint the assistant coaches. It wouldn't be a club official that did it.
There wouldn't be an NRL coach's contract that doesn't have that. So it would have been most strange if Adam O'Brien was to agree to it.
You want to put your men in there, don't you?
Of course you
need your men there.
Totally understandable, yeah. Too. And hopefully all of them are loyal. Doesn't always happen, right?
Yeah. We're all here, though, Jane. We're one team, aren't
we? Mostly, yep.
Yeah. Hey, Dino, you got some... he's a hard man to work with, Dino. Hey, Dino, you got some news on Cody Walker?
Yeah, look, Ray, he's not off contract until the end of next year. But as of November 1 this year, of course, clubs can formally make offers for Cody. He wants to stay. He's 30 years old, but he does realise that his next contract may well be his last.
Yep.
And it wouldn't surprise me, guys, if he throws himself on the open market and just sees what interest there is out there. South have got a tight salary cap. However, they do have a bit of money coming their way in terms of John Sutton tiring. But I think you'll find there's a few clubs already discussing the possibility of manoeuvring their salary cap just to have a nibble at Cody Walker to see what he's after, what he's worth, and whether they could squeeze him in. As I said, guys, he doesn't particularly want to leave South. He likes the club, but given it's his last deal, and if he can cop some big coin elsewhere, and given South have got salary cap issues in terms of there isn't a whole lot left over, who knows, Cody Walker may well have to look at all these options.
Got to be transparent. Mm. Got to be transparent with the salary cap, because have a look at this. Like, Greg Inglis has retired. Yeah, I know James Roberts came, but he came on a cheaper deal. Brisbane's paying a chunk of it as well. Same too with Jaden Sewer. Greg Inglis has retired.
Mm.
There's a fair bit of... The Burgess boy... George Burgess is going. So look, there's got to be money there somewhere. Yes, they're going to have to upgrade Campbell Graham. Yes, they're going to have to upgrade Cameron Murray.
Oh, star he is.
But Cody Walker, if they're saying, oh, Cody, there's not much space in the cap, then you've got to start thinking, well, how much do they want me?
What would you think Cody Walker, Jimmy, I'll ask you here, would be worth on the open market, given he is 30, he's blossomed late, but he's also now a State of Origin player, albeit he didn't play an enormous role this year, but he does still have a blue jumper.
I reckon if you got him for $500,000, you got him cheap. If you got him for $600,000, you're probably at market value. If you got him for $700,000, you might be paying a little bit overs, but
okay.
He's a quality player. And from a longevity point of view, I like the fact that he hasn't played so much NRL footy. It means he might have some more miles in the legs.
4 or 5 years still to go.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Dino?
Yeah, I think you're about spot on, Jimmy. Look, there's clubs out there that will go, I think, 700 for Cody. Whether you're right, Jimmy, and that is a fraction over what he is worth, but I think you'll find that he would quite comfortably pick up a 3-year deal, at least, worth $2 million.
Mm. Yeah, and I reckon you've got to pay him a little bit more to leave. South could probably pay him a little bit less to stay. Yeah.
Hey, Dino, what's your take on the Hudson Young incident yesterday in the Raiders-Warriors clash?
Yeah, I heard Zorba on the show before. Mm. Look, guys, let's just wait to see what the charge sheet says. It'll come out probably sometime later this morning. But from what we saw, it didn't look good. He's had a couple of cracks around the face and the eyes. He's already got done, I think, this year on an Aiden Tolman. Look, if he's found guilty and if he's charged, as we think it would be, contrary conduct, he would be directed straight to the judiciary on Wednesday night.
Yes.
And if he's found guilty, I think he should look at a year on the sideline.
Wow.
Oh, I don't think he'll get that. I think your minimum 10 weeks. Minimum.
Jimmy, eye gouging.
I know.
Again, let me stress.
Well, hang on.
If he's found guilty, he's the lowest, grubbiest act in the game.
What about Josh Maguire? What about Josh Maguire? What did he get? Three weeks.
I thought he should have got more.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So you got to weigh up, well, what's the precedent? This is going to make a lot of people smile. What's consistent and what's not? 10 weeks. 10 plus weeks in my mind.
He just got 10 weeks, I think it was.
Nine.
His gouge on Robbie. But, Jimmy, there's got to be a line in the sand here. They've got to make a hard call, and a call that is a statement. And that statement's got to say that gouging can't be tolerated. It's not tolerated now.
No.
However, 6 or 7 weeks to me, that's just not long enough.
Yeah.
I think they've got to make a statement that they're right. You are gone. See you in 12 months.
Yeah. Well, I think a little harsh. But anyway, we'll take people's thoughts on that. 1353 53, the open line number. Now you're close to the Manly Club. Will they have 17 to run out next week for their semi-final based on what we heard from Zorba, a.k.a. Des Hasler in disguise?
Yeah, they'll build a team. You know, Desi loves this kind of stuff.
Loves it.
He loves back to the wall, everyone riding off his side. But having said that, clearly there's some issues down there in terms of injuries. Sirenin and Paseka now the latest two to go. So, look, he's going to struggle to field a competitive side, Des. There's no doubt about that. But they've got a home semi-final, and they'll have a red-hot crack, Manly. They'll grind away. They'll play the style that Desi loves. And you know what, Jimmy? I'm not going to write Manly off. I just have a gut feeling that Des will have this side ready to rock in front of a sell-out crowd at Brookie. And I've just got a sneaking suspicion. I'm not going to put my hard earned on it, mind you, but I've just got a suspicion that they will come out and absolutely have a fair dick and crack Manly. And to say anyone who writes Manly off just yet, given their injuries, is a fool.
Yeah, Manly at home, Jim.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point we're getting at.
Zorba said,
we may as well not turn up. Well, he didn't say that, but he was saying, how hard is it going to be?
Very hard to beat. Hey, Dino, two games.
Hey, Zorba will want the game on because he can get in the private suite knee.
True. Yeah, absolutely. Accuracy again from Dean Bulldog Ritchie on this program.
Number one man. Hey, Dino, two games to complete the home and away season. Obviously, the major interest is the Tigers and Sharks. You mentioned Farah. Any other changes there? Plus the Panthers Knights at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, nothing more at that Tigers camp other than the news earlier in the week that Moses Mbai, he's got a hip flexor and won't play. Now, Matt Moylan was on the reserves bench for Cronulla, Ray, but he has been cut from that side. He won't play through that hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Sean Dodson, though, had a quad. He's been past fit play. And Josh Dugan has passed concussion protocol tests. So he will take his place in that Shark side for the 2 o'clock game at Leichhardt. And, of course, Panthers, nice 4 p.m. up there at Penrith this afternoon. The Panthers should be 1 through 17. Josh Mansell was cut from the squad last night. James Maloney's last game for Penrith. And the one significant change for the Newcastle Knights, Sean Kenny Dow goes out, and the young kid called Stafford Coa will be his replacement.
Okay.
not a bad name, is it, Stafford Tower? Any other news around Dino?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Jimmy. In terms of news, Cody Walker, I think, will be a significant story in coming weeks, as will a Knights coaching staff. But all eyes this afternoon, I think, Jimmy, will be on Leichhardt. It's going to be an absolute belter. And when the Tigers run out this afternoon, I think you'll hear the roar right across Sydney.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic, won't it? Good on you, Dino. We'll speak next week.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Yeah, Dino.
Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest news in the world of rugby league. We'll take a break now on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. After that, we'll have a sports update with Tanya. Keep them coming in. Biggest floggings in sport.
Lenny the Shark. Racing in the Miracle Mile, the 50th running. Lazarus and L.Y. Kiki Beach are trying to wind up. The leader narrowly is Lenny the Shark. Smolder and Lazarus, they're trying to close. But Lenny's trying to lift. Here's Smolder on the inside. Lenny the Shark and Smolder. Lenny's just in front. I think he might have got there. Lenny the Shark and nose to Smolder.
Lenny the Shark.
Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au. Sky Racing Active. It's got all your racing needs.
Can you create racing playlists?
Yes, with race alerts and tips.
Can you stream races you've missed?
Definitely.
And your favourite racing shows?
Yup.
Can you watch races that are yet to run?
That you can't do. For everything else, download Sky Racing Active on your Apple iOS or Android device and get access to a 60-day free trial period.
Sky Racing Active. It's racing the way you want it.
Trial offer ends October 7th, 2019. 18 plus. Eligible customers only. Exclusive Vic and SA Thoroughbreds.
Customers love our coffee, but we just can't keep up with the morning rush. I need more hands on deck.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent $10 billion to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Apply in 10 minutes, get approval in hours, and have the money in your account as fast as the next business day. So for a loan to help you hire more employees, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
England 2 for 18 at stumps after day 4 of the fourth Ashes cricket test at Old Trafford. The home side need a further 365 for victory on the last day. Overnight, Australia bowled England out for 301. Josh Hazlewood, the best of the bowlers, with 4 for 57. Australia came out to bat. Dave Warner fell victim to Stuart Broad again for another duck. Harris made 6, Labuschagne 11, and then Steve Smith starred with the bat, making 82, his ninth consecutive Ashes half century. Tim Payne declared at 6 for 186, setting the home side a target of 383. 19-year-old Bianca Andreescu has become the first Canadian to win a tennis major, defeating Serena Williams this morning in the final of the US Open 6-3, 7-5. It was her first time at the tournament, and at the start of the year she was ranked 178. This is her reaction after the match.
It's so hard to explain in words, but I'm just beyond grateful and truly blessed. I've worked really, really hard for this moment. I can't complain. This year has been a dream come true, and now being able to play on this stage against Serena, a true legend of this sport, is amazing. I tried to prepare my best like I do every other match. I tried to step on the court and try not to focus on who I'm playing. I mean, that's really easy to say, but I'm really proud with how I dealt with everything.
And tonight, Rafa Nadal is looking for a fourth US Open title, his 19th Grand Slam, but comes up against the fifth seed Daniil Medvedev, a winner of 20 of his 22 matches on hard courts over the American summer. So it won't be easy. Canberra blew an 8-point lead in the final 12 minutes to go down to the Warriors 24-20 in the NRL match at GIO Stadium, and will meet Melbourne in a qualifying final next Saturday. Canterbury continued its fine form at the back end of the season, defeating Brisbane 30-14 at ANZ. The Broncos will more than likely finish eighth and play Parramatta next Sunday at Bank West. Also last night, St. George Illawarra farewelled Gareth Widdop with a 24-16 win over the Gold Coast. Today at a sold-out Leichhardt Oval, the West Tigers and Cronulla fight for seventh spot, and in the last match of the 2019 regulation season, Penrith host Newcastle. The Boomers managed to grind out an 87-76 win over the Dominican Republic at the Basketball World Cup second round in China last night. Paddy Mills steadying the side with 19 points. France then defeated Lithuania, and that guarantees the Aussies a quarterfinal spot for the first time in the World Cup in 37 years. First week of the AFL finals, and GWS yesterday beat the Western Bulldogs 113-255 at Giants Stadium. The Bulldogs are now out. The Giants next play a knockout semi-final against Brisbane after the Lions were beaten convincingly by Richmond last night, 112-65, in front of around 37,000, which is the biggest Lions AFL crowd ever at the Gabba. David Pocock played his first game for the Wallabies in 6 months last night. The captain has been recovering from a calf injury and enjoyed 58 minutes of game time in Australia's final warm-up match before the start of the Rugby World Cup. The Wallabies beat Samoa 34-15 at Bankwest. No EPL overnight with Euro 2020 qualifiers, where France and England have moved top of their group after easy wins. And Charles Leclerc has pole for the Italian F1 Grand Prix. Dan Ricciardo not too far away in fifth. Back to the World Cup, the Basketball World Cup. You mentioned the scenario before, Ray. It was quite early. You know, we have fights over the remote control because some of these matches are occurring during the Ashes, because this is my Ashes.
The Basketball World Cup?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's my Ashes. And so some of the games are during the Ashes, so they've been glaring, across.
Have you two ever considered sitting in like a bunker style where you've got multiple TVs?
I was thinking that last night.
But it's too cold in the other rooms, you see, so I'd rather be where the gas heater
is. Can you go screen in screen?
No, we don't have that. Watching two?
No, we don't. Maybe we do.
This is the next step in your relationship,
I think, if you can. I don't see any problems moving forward.
So let me give you the scenario. The Boomers play France around 10 o'clock on Monday night. They need to win that to go 5-0 and finish on top of Group L. We're assuming the USA will finish top of their group, and then therefore they won't meet. The only time they would meet would be a possible final.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So
avoid them completely.
Because if they're the top of their groups, they won't meet.
If they beat France, they have to beat France.
Yeah. If they go down to France, they'll finish second. And if the USA finished first, then we will meet the USA in the quarterfinal.
France is third favourite in the market.
Yeah, they're hard to beat. Just quickly back to the Euros. French coach Didier Deschamps offered a public apology after the wrong national anthem was played at the Euros, their qualifying game against Albania. A mix-up saw that the Albanian national anthem wasn't played. It was the national anthem of Andorra by mistake, and the players refused to start the match until it was rectified.
Eventually, a seven-minute delay.
Now, you were telling me yesterday you saw something on Twitter about the same thing happening yesterday.
But in the Argentina versus Randwick game at Coogee Oval,
yes,
this is unconfirmed, I should stress, but the Argentinian national anthem wasn't the Argentinian national anthem.
What was it?
U2. I'm still trying. What is it? Still trying to find what I'm looking for. What's this song?
Still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, it perplexes me. I know it's human error. It's a strange phenomenon. It happens quite regularly.
Yeah.
The wrong national anthem is played. I think there should be one that's just on a tape. Stick it in, press play.
That sounds like an alphabetical one there, that Andorra instead of Algeria.
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm surprised Australia and Austria don't get confused more often, particularly in
Europe.
Sometimes
happen with the flags when they're going up at medal ceremonies, too. Wrong flags go up.
But back in the day when we used to do the rugby league and Zorba and Holly were on, and Zorba always played Julie Anthony at the start.
Here we go,
Big Julie. And no one sings it better than her. There are too many versions of other people, some good, some horrendous.
Correct.
Just play. Everyone should just have one tape and just play the same thing all the time.
Seriously in the grand final for worst national anthem in history.
Ours?
Yeah. If it wasn't ours, if we weren't Australian, we'd hear it and go, what's that? Mm.
But when people are putting all their different versions in it, the players find it hard to follow.
Yeah.
And it sort of ruins the moment, doesn't it? Not a first world problem.
No, that's right. Thank you, Dan. We do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. Now, we're getting some number of SMS in here. Morning, boys. To settle a bet, who kicked most consecutive goals in the NRL? I went Hazem El Masri with about 30. Cheers, Manly Man Owl. Well, I can tell
it's
you, Manly
close,
Man Owl.
Yeah.
35
is Hazem El Masri. 32, Nathan Cleary. That was during last year.
And Hazem a couple more times.
31, Daryl Halligan, 30. Hazem El Masri, 29. There's a pattern emerging, but there you go, Manly Manel. 35 is the correct answer. Overall, in World Rugby League, 39. 39 is the world record. Up next, Phil Moss.
And it's now on Jonathan Tarr. Here's Depay. He's got support. Wijnaldum bursting his into the penalty area and finding the back of the net. The finishing touch on a wonderful night for the Dutch.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Here he is. He's in the studio, which is a shock to everyone. And then he nearly refused to shake hands with me.
He's worried he might... No, the great man's sitting right next to you. Better introduce him.
Oh, it's Phil Moss.
As you would know, Jimmy, coming from an elite sporting background, that if you turn up with a little bit of an itch in the throat for training, on training day, you're not allowed to shake anyone's hand.
Quarantine.
No handshakes. So I was just checking, because I came in and you were gargling.
Salty water. Let's clarify that.
We'll just leave it right there. Yeah. Now, I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you, Jimmy.
Oh, here we go.
And Ray's going to be the adjudicator.
Oh, yeah, that's balanced. Unbiased.
I said to Penny this morning, woke up early, and she said, you kind of haven't got an excuse not to go in this morning, have you?
Come on, Penny.
I'm on Jimmy's
my
side.
New
She's
favorite.
On Team
yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I said to her, I can't remember the last time Bulldog Richie or Zorba came in or one of the racing guests.
I'm the only one.
I feel like I'm being victimised here.
It's a very, very
James?
Good point.
Being shamed into coming in.
Well, what do you got for me?
Do you want me to be brutally honest with you?
Let's get on to the football.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. All right.
That's a very good point. Yeah. As our good friend would normally, he hasn't got it. Doesn't matter. But
no,
a good point.
Well,
Phil.
We can get to that, Ray, and we'll do that in the ad break.
Sound like you and I to be on the same page, Ray, isn't
exactly.
it?
Oh, yeah, what a shock! Bulgaria 0, England 4, and we saw the score run. And we said, "How many Harry get?" Yeah. I said, "I reckon he got 2." I was wrong.
Well, he got 3 and had one ruled out for offside.
Oh, really?
Early on. And it was offside. It was the right decision. But yeah, look. It's almost a running joke, isn't it, on the weekly show where we tip Harry Kane as the first goal scorer. But he's two penalties, but they were fantastically dispatched with real conviction. And the goal he took was very well taken. He's just, honestly, he's just a born goal scorer. Yeah. You
he's
just
in the
know.
Right spot, isn't
that's
he?
It.
So often.
If his teams at Spurs or England get the ball anywhere in the vicinity, you just know he's going to be there or thereabouts.
Massive game was the Netherlands versus Germany in Hamburg. Netherlands have won 4-2. Is that an upset, Phil?
I think it is.
Yeah
well,
in Germany.
Particularly,
yeah.
Yeah, particularly in Germany. At Volksparkstadion. Toni Kroos had Germany back on level terms at 2-2 with a penalty. No surprise to us, Ray. It was a Liverpool man who, Wijnaldum, got the assist to put his team...
Is our man Jimmy listening to this, Phil?
I think he switched off. Are those headphones working, Jimmy?
No, I know when you talk Liverpool.
But no, Wijnaldum laid on the assist for Mullen, who had a fantastic debut for the Netherlands, and then grabbed the goal that put them 4-2. An unassailable lead in the injury time, 91st minute, I think it was. But... that's a big result. You've got Northern Ireland, who are top of Group C, 12 points from 12. They host Germany on Tuesday morning, I think it is our time, and the Netherlands travel to Estonia now. So Northern Ireland are 12 points from 12, Germany 9 points from 12, Netherlands 6 from 9 with games in hand. So it's a really interesting group C, starting to build there. Yeah. But Northern Ireland, top of the group, host Germany Tuesday morning. That should be an absolute cracker.
And what about you? Is your multi still alive? I think first leg up?
Yeah, first leg up. Portugal getting over the top of Serbia away from home. Ronaldo on the score sheet there. So we've got the first of three legs. The other ones we want is Italy to get over the top of Finland away and Sweden to get over Norway in the early hours of tomorrow morning.
Sweden $1.90, Italy $1.70 in that one. Now, Watford have sacked Javi Gracia.
Didn't waste any time.
Right, so that's the first manager gone after four games. But here's the thing. Do you feel like discussions may have been taking place beforehand? Because he's been replaced within half an hour.
30 minutes. Well, so it's less about the change in manager here. And you do feel for Javi Gracia. Obviously, bottom of the table after four games. He took them to 11th in the FA Cup final last season. And they've turned to Kike Sanchez Flores, who managed Watford back in 2015-16, if you remember. And he took them to mid-table in the FA Cup semi-final. But that's their 11th manager in 8 years at Watford. And the other point is...
Got the full confidence of the board. That goes down well there for the manager.
The other point is that 30-minute window between sacking the manager and appointing the new one. I mean, that's a whole discussion point in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not good. And you know, where's the transparency? I know things have to go on behind the scenes, but the transparency for a manager who took them to 11th in the FA Cup final last season, that's not that long ago.
And what about letting him walk with a little bit of dignity? Give him a day or two before you make the announcement. Give the guy something.
Yeah. And the captain, his name escapes me at the moment, but the captain came out 48 hours ago and said the dressing room wants Gracia to get some time to turn things around after the FIFA break.
Gee.
48 hours later, the guillotine swings.
The captain might be on shaky ground. Any update on the soccer? What's the latest there?
Yeah, a lot of things happening around that. Obviously, Aaron Moy and Matty Ryan talking up their club partnership as well as the national team partnership. They went through Westfield Sports High, which we know is a very fertile breeding ground for wonderful athletes in all sports, but particularly football. So they're together at Brighton. Adam Taggart, there's a lot of talk around is he the go-to. Yeah. I'm not going to put him in the Timmy Cahill bracket, but someone has to replace
how do you rate
Timmy Cahill? Look, I've always thought when his head's in the right place and his body's in the right place, he's a wonderful player. He can score goals from different areas inside the box and outside the box. He makes fantastic runs. You always know that if you've got a creative number 10 on the ball facing forward in the top third, Adam Taggart will make the right run. It's just a matter of executing the final pass.
Have we got that creative 10?
Yeah, I think we do with the likes of Aaron Moy, Tommy Rogic, who's not in this squad, but we do have that in the national team. Have we got enough to get past Kuwait? We bloody well better have. And the way Graham Arnold coaches his teams is to get the ball into those danger areas quickly and have numbers in the box. Taggart, I've got no doubt, will start this game. He's on fire in Korea, scoring at will for Suwon. So I think he will find the back of the net for the Socceroos in a Socceroos win on Wednesday morning, I think it is.
Would Adam Taggart be a good foil for Mark Viduka?
You play them together as a two-pronged strike force.
He was a most unusual striker, wasn't he, Mark Viduka? Like, he used to have his back to the goal all the time and trap and lay off for players running through.
Yeah, well, the thing I always feel for Mark Viduka in the era that he played for the Socceroos, we generally played with one striker.
Yeah.
And it was very... So when you play as that one striker, you really do need to be that platform for midfielders to run off you.
Right. So he could have played a different role.
Predominantly, you are facing back to goal.
Okay.
But for his club teams, he scored at will. And most club teams he played in, it was a two-pronged strike force.
Right. Mm.
So I'm kind of agreeing with you, Jimmy.
Look at us getting deep into football.
It's what happens when Phil comes in. You can
It's the quality that goes through the roof. And heaven knows this program needs it, Mossy.
Well, mate, if you keep sending Penny a bottle of champagne every Sunday night, you never know.
Fantastic.
The following week.
What are you offering? Oh, anyway, Kuwait v Australia, $9 Kuwait, $5 the draw, and the Socceroos at $1.32. Sydney FC, can you goalkeep?
No, I can't. I'm never good with the hands, but unless it was a throw-in.
We've had a couple issues today.
We're going to get another mention, but anyway, they got no gun. Well, what, Ray?
Anyway.
Never good with the hands unless I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Anyone who has got
a CV that's got goalkeeping on it should submit it straight away to Stevie Corica.
Well, here's an issue for you.
Yeah.
The FIFA window that we had last season is now being abolished in the A-League for this coming season. It was done by a combination of FFA club chairman and CEOs.
Yes.
Coaches to the best of my knowledge, and I have asked them this, had no knowledge that it was going to be scrapped. So we play through FIFA windows. Mm. Round one, October 11, I think, Sydney FC kick off against Adelaide. There's a Socceroos game and an Oli Roos game. Now, Sydney FC have Andrew Redmayne and Thomas Hewitt-Bell in the Socceroos. Now, they haven't been selected yet, but Redmayne's away with the Socceroos at the moment. Mm. And Hewitt-Bell is away with the Oli Roos. So there's only two, well, there's two options. They don't get selected, but with Danny Vukovic out with an ACL, Redmayne's almost a dead certainty to win the Socceroos. Yes. Hewitt-Bell's doing well in the Oli Roos. The Socceroos play October 10 down in Canberra against Nepal. Sydney FC play away to Adelaide on October 11. So Stevie Corrigan may have to fly Redmayne first thing on October 11 to Adelaide, straight to Adelaide for the game from Canberra. But he's going to have to sign a state league goalkeeper and
for a one-off game almost.
For a one-off game. Yeah.
Oh, Rocky Balboa. Come on down. How good would that be?
One hit wonder.
Yeah, keep a clean sheet and away you go.
News on the
Lowy out of it.
Exactly, yeah. The Lowy family got some news there.
Yeah,
too,
they've sold out of football officially now. They sold their last 10% that they had in Sydney FC to David Traktovenko and Scott Barlow, the Traktovenko family. So they now own, I think, 98% of Sydney FC. They've been wonderful, wonderful owners, the Traktovenko family. And the Lowys, we all know what they've put into football. So, I guess on their journey out the door officially, we pay tribute to them for what they've done for Sydney FC and for Australian football.
No doubt.
It's been absolutely wonderful. But, if you want to model ownership family for a football club, look no further than the Traktovenkos. They are brilliant.
Yeah, terrific. Fantastic. Yeah. Good on you, Mossy. We do appreciate you coming in, by the way. And next time you come in, is there any chance you could get a RT and a JS pair of tracksuit pants for us? Look at this. We've got the little PM. Only good after midday.
Mate, I'll do that. I'll do that for you as long as next time I'm in the studio, it's a party atmosphere with Zorba and Bulldog Richie.
Very good point, Jim.
Fair enough. I'll tell you what, Zorba, dude, no worries. Remember he came in? What did he come in for? Before
when I was
the Origin
away.
Game? Absolutely.
Yeah.
He did it.
Because I can't imagine I've got an extra zero on my paycheck than what they've got.
No, you haven't. No. 1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. Good on you, Mossy.
Good on you guys.
We do appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Phil.
After the break, we'll keep taking callers. And, of course, we'll start wrapping up the show and find out who our best contribution is today for the Wingman and the Winx Book.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Lion won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Kiyomichi in front from Microphone and Lion.
And the stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English sire.
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow. Sydney's newest must-see home renovation destination is now open. Wideline Windows and Doors state-of-the-art Liverpool showroom features an impressive range of residential, designer and architectural designs on display. Experience window shopping like never before. See how your home will look and feel with our stunning contemporary 310 square metre showroom, plus find solutions to improve energy efficiency, acoustics, privacy and security. Wideline Liverpool will bring your home reno vision to life. Located at 12 Home Pride Avenue, Warwick Farm, open 6 days.
$5 Kosciuszko tickets. Close midnight, Sunday.
Phipps wants it left. Alapetti wants 5 points and he gets it. Oh, the Wallabies needed that one.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. 9:47 a.m. almost out of time again, Jim. Jim, we haven't made any mention of the Michael Zarafa Jeff Horn fight, and a lot of people were saying.
Yes, we did. We made mention of it last week.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying again though that the fight should have been stopped a lot earlier than it did.
Yes.
And I think if you've seen the vision of it, didn't look good, did it?
No, you and I were adamant about that last week. 1353, the open line number. Can you ask Mossy, who owns the other 2% of Sydney FC? That's a good question, Tom. We should do that. Mm. By the way, don't be paranoid, Jimmy. Hashtag more Ray. Hashtag more Tanya. Hashtag more Mossy. Cheers, Heather, the other Newcastle Seagull. Oh, there you go. Let's go to Davey's on the line. G'day, Davey.
G'day. How are you, boys?
Morning, Dave.
Oh, freezing out here in Parks this morning.
Is it?
Cool, is it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Any rain, though, Dave?
dry as.
Terrible. Yeah, just terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd come over the top with a very impressive flogging.
Yes.
Because I was part of it.
Oh, yeah.
1971, Jim, we're going back a bit.
Yeah.
Can you do the maths with 3-point tries?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I played for I'm a Dirringong boy, but I played for Jamboree because, you know, we had 5 boys and 6 girls back in those days.
Yes.
In Dirringong.
Yes.
So I played for Jamboree, and we played Chilhada, and we got done 88-2, and we got the 2 points from a field goal with less than a minute to go because we weren't losing to nil.
You got the field goal.
88-2.
88-2.
Well, so without knowing how many conversions were successful,
well,
Dave.
About 18 tries.
Wow.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
And I was under 14, Jim, but you know, it didn't half scar me much.
No, that's right. A good thing is you've been able to forget it.
Yeah, 1971.
47 years later, 48 years later, yeah.
And then we wind the clock on when I was refereeing in country footy. I did a game at Greenville Park in Albury, and Albury beat Corowa rather than 124-0, and they called it off 10 minutes early.
Yeah, really, yeah, a couple of those tries were a bit questionable early on. Apparently the referee not having a good day.
The referee's fault.
That's what I heard as well, Dave. It's funny
right
about that.
About Red Zell.
Yes.
As you're going to make the 1,200, but
well, he's done it the last 2 years, Dave, and Peter Stone said he'd be ridden a little bit differently in terms of they won't go out with such intent to just rest that lead. They'll probably just go up and either lead or sit outside the leader. So he can run the 1,200 metres, no problem at all, Dave.
Good on you, Dave.
Good call,
nice
Dave.
Call, nice call. Actually, double asterisks there for Dave.
Yeah.
And your chance to win the Winx book, by the way, Ray.
Nothing happened.
Okay, and the Wingman beer, okay.
You're not so busy. You've got to step into the breach for me, my friend.
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Jimmy and Ray.
Morning, Gary.
Just quickly, Peter Belandi, I can't wait for him to get in. I'm a lover of the NRL, and they're warming me down on the NRL. I want to make 3 points.
One
is the grand final golden point. We all know the whistle goes in the pocket, so that was ridiculous. We'll never see that again. That's 1 point. The second point is going on to 8 seasons now, next season's 8 seasons, where we can't hear the questions at the press conference. That's number two. And number three is the fine system, whoever invented the number two, as in after 2 fines you can't get any more, is insane in the first degree. A fine system's a fine system. What happens there is it starts at 1,000, it's ever-ending. It keeps going up and up if he wants to keep occurring the same. Because Sam Burgess, I just had to phone up on that because I just cannot believe. Look, I'm a Bunnies man, don't get me wrong. Mm. But the point is, any side, if someone pulled someone's hair, they cannot lose a week. They only can cop a fine. That's my play on the NRL. I can't wait.
Good on you, Gary. Okay. Yeah. 3 points made there by Gary. Still hazy on a couple of them. Mm. Do you understand what he was talking about there?
Not really. But I'm not being rude.
That is a stunning admission from Ray Thomas. As hard as you get on one of our callers, isn't it?
He's got things he's passionate about. But I did notice that Phil Rothfield did have a little piece in his column today about Peter Volandis, and Peter Volandis is a huge supporter of maintaining suburban grounds for a lot of the Sydney teams because he describes that as a tribalism in sport.
Understand that. You've got to look at the economics of sport as well.
And that's one thing he's very, very good at.
And make sure they work. And that's where Bankwest Stadium will come into its own. Mm-hmm. Talk about the traffic. They're a little bit worried about the surface because of the traffic that's been on it. Tell you what, there'll be much more traffic on it, I would have thought, especially with ANZ Stadium. Closed for renovations. Mm. By the way, the point on the questions being picked up in the press conference, 100%.
Yep.
Just put a microphone, get it. Employ
it's not
a
hard.
Sound guy
it's not hard.
To stand there with a boom mic like they do and then just do that.
It's
and
not
then
hard.
Just stand there and sweep the room, whoever's speaking. And if you're about to ask a question, just wait till the microphone gets in front of you and then ask away. I'm sure Wayne will answer. Hello, Dougie.
G'day, boys. Heading to Cabramatta as we speak to be involved with the Disability Grand Final today, guys.
Oh, okay.
Who's playing, Dougie?
Mate, it's Jimmy. You'd love this one. You know, I've been on a few footy grounds previously. We've got the Newtown Jets versus South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Now, is man George Tonner playing?
No, George's team got knocked out. One of the favourites, but George will be there. I think he's touch judge today.
Very good.
And Jimmy, I don't know if you've been to a game, but, mate, it's just so inspirational seeing these people with various disabilities playing the game together, from amputees, cerebral palsy, health, mental issues, when they all play this game, and there's no holes barred. Mm. It's full on.
Fantastic. Is this Dougie Keane?
Yeah, it is, Jimmy. Yeah.
Thought it was. Thought it was.
So anyone in the Cabramatta area, the game starts at 11 o'clock. The participants would love to see a few more people there and get behind their team, especially if you like South and the Jets.
Yes.
I think the Rabbitohs are slight favourites, but refereeing the game, I should say nothing about that.
Careful, Doug. Careful, Doug.
Even on Thursday night, we've got to thank the Rabbitohs. They were very gracious to let... we had a demonstration game.
Saw that.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? And there was a little fellow who's about 8 years old with one arm, and mate, he was so inspirational on the night. He was the player of the match. So.
Who was? Fantastic. Was he the kid that was really quick?
Yes, little fella. Yeah.
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 Incredibly quick.
Was he good on him?
Yeah.
The whole cultures, and you get they're very funny too. Like, you get comments all the time. You know, you're missing a good game, ref. And this is the players giving it.
How good that? Fantastic. Yeah.
Very
anyway,
good.
Yeah. So, Cabramatta, 11 o'clock. Please get out there if you can. It takes about an hour. It'll be all over. They play 20-minute halves, presentation, and there you go from there. Thanks a lot for the time, guys.
Good on you, Dougie.
Well done. Well done, Doug.
There you go. Make sure you get out of Cabramatta at 11 o'clock. Disability Grand Final, Newtown versus South Sydney. A big rivalry that one is. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Morning, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. What a great weekend.
You know why he's bouncing today? Wentworthville.
Ah, okay.
Very impressive in their demolition of the Penrith Panthers yesterday, Scotty.
They were, boys, and who would have known 2 weeks ago, boys, 151 to win the comp, and now getting inching closer and closer to that grand final day.
Did you have a little bet, Scotty? I'd say that sounds
good. Hang on. No, you're allowed to have a bet.
I'm not allowed to bet on that, unfortunately, but I've let a few other people know.
That's all right.
Close family member. Anyway, look, how'd we go last week selling our
trouble
car?
It is today.
Yeah. Boys, we sold the Renault Kangoo
Beauty.
So today we've got another fantastic vehicle on special for the listeners. And as always, it's the cheapest one you're going to find. We have a 2012 Holden Captiva four-wheel drive seven-seat wagon.
Whoa.
This is another one-owner vehicle. It comes with logbooks and service history, and it's in very, very good condition. It's a bluey silver colour with partial leather seats. It's got 18-inch alloy wheels, so the car looks great, but it's also very comfortable to drive. It's packed full of safety options. It's got ABS brake, 6 airbags, traction control, hill holder, hill descent control, self-leveling suspension, electronic brake force distribution, electronic stability program, and it's even got the rear park sensors. Boys, you throw in the automatic climate control air conditioning, cruise control, and a leather steering wheel. It's got the power sunroof and, of course, the third row of seats, and you've got one beautiful and safe four-wheel drive people mover. Boys, this is on special for the listeners today at a scintillating $8,990. And, boys, we are going to include the stamp duty with this one as well today. So go to the website, www.fosterspolitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-750-024, and make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great drive away price, because it is advertised for more on the website. So mention Sky Sports Radio, get this great vehicle, $8,990. Drive away. It's a very cheap car, and it's a great car, so be quick.
Yeah, great family car, it sounds like it, Scotty. And you can help with finance too, mate?
Yeah, we certainly can. We've got great finance packages available, and we've got access to a number of lenders, which allows us to get the best possible rates. It also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterspolitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963-750-024, and we'll get you driving a car or a truck as soon as today.
You're still hanging out with Mick Appleby at the Good Truck Wholesalers?
Certainly are. Mick's going very well, the Good Truck Wholesalers. So all the listeners out there, we do now supply trucks as well to all our listeners. And these are the cheapest trucks in Australia. So give us a call and let us know what sort of truck you are after. And if we don't have one to suit, we'll find the best one available at the best possible price. And, boys, I might even take him along to the Brad Fittler Medal tomorrow night.
Just make sure he behaves, okay, Scotty?
I'll make sure he behaves.
Yeah.
Be good.
Get a little bit loose, Michael. Ron Massey Cup today. They got the game too.
Yeah, we're playing Asquith today at HE Labor Field at 1 p.m. I'll be heading out there soon. And, boys, they were the minor premiers of that competition. So the winner will have next week off. So the boys are looking to have a good win today. And I think, boys, the Canterbury Cup side are going to be playing at Leichhardt Oval next Saturday, and they'll play the loser of today's game versus the Dragons and Bulldogs.
Correct.
And, boys, I can see another upset next week.
You'll be minus a middle forward, Kane Evans. He'll be out, so that means you'll need a middle forward up there for Brad Arthur's side. But Timmy Manor was good yesterday. Mm. Be good to see
he
him
was
come
very
out.
Good.
Yeah, play in the
he
semi.
He was very good.
Yeah. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
All right, boys. Have a good afternoon.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Keep that record running. We've sold some cars this year, I must say, Roman. Well done. Fosters Quality Cars.com.au. Now, coming up on Racing HQ, Mick Wallace previews Mudgee. John Scores is going to look at the meeting at Gundagai. Big Sports Breakfast back tomorrow morning.
You
won,
James?
5:30, I am. I'm looking forward to that. TK and myself. Jimmy, when you say the national anthem is the worst in the world, do you know the words of all the other anthems that aren't sung in English? Regards, Tom.